Chunadapi sunichena Tarariva sahishnuna Amanina manatena Kirtaniya sadahari Harinama Harinama Harinamaiva Kevalam Kalu naskeva 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 gatiranyata. I'd like to introduce you to somebody who participates on Mayapur TV almost every class I give. And this is the first time I think I'm meeting you in person. This is Bhakta Bill Schubert. I want to dedicate today's class to him. May Krishna bless you and protect you. Hari Bol. We have 8 devotees online right now. And those who have signed in, we have Chandrakant in the UK. Mukund Garmalkar has joined us. Roxana in Lima, Peru. And Santa in Los Angeles. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are studying this Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita as given to us by the ISKCON founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we are studying the Adi Leela, which is entitled The Confidential Reasons for the Appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My records indicate we left off at 35. Very good. No, that means you're conscientious. But before we do 35, we should go to 34, because 35 is referencing 34. So to refresh our memories, let's do text 34. Please repeat the Sanskrit. Anugrahaya bhaktanam manushang deham ashrita bhajate tadrishi krida ya shutva tat paro bhavet. Krishna manifests his eternal human-like form and performs his pastimes to show mercy to the devotees. Having heard such pastimes, one should engage in service to him. So the reference here, Shukadeva Goswami has finished his 5 chapters of Rasalila. So this is one of the final concluding statements of Shukadeva in that Rasalila section. So now we will go to where we left off. We're not going to read the purport because we already did that in the previous class. So let's go now to text 35. So Krishnadas Kaviraj is explaining, he's going to give the purport of that verse. Here, the use of the verb bhavet, which is in the imperative mode, tells us that certainly this must be done. Non-compliance would be abandonment of duty. Imperative mode means when somebody has said, you must do this, like you will tell your children, hey, you must brush your teeth, you must go to school, you must. That's the imperative. Just like Kamlesh Patel's favorite verse, Sarvadaman Parityajya Mame Kam Sharanam Vraja Ahang Tvang Sarva Papibhyo Moksha Yashami Ma Suchaha. Ma Suchaha. Don't hesitate. Don't worry. Don't fear. You should surrender. Alright, let's look at Prabhupada's purport. Srila Prabhupada ki. This imperative is applicable to pure devotees. Neophytes will be able to understand these affairs only after being elevated by regulated devotional service under the expert guidance of the spiritual master. Then they too will be competent to hear of the love affairs of Radha and Krishna. The same point is mentioned in Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion, that you begin from what is called Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, meaning you accept a spiritual master. That acceptance of a spiritual master means now you're under rules, regulations, and whether you feel like it or not, you have to do your prescribed duties, especially hearing and chanting. That's the meaning of accepting a spiritual master. It means now you're going to be disciplined. You're not going to do what you feel like. Just like any athlete, professional athlete or Olympian, he has a coach, he has a trainer, and he's on his case. Day one, all day, the coach and the trainer. Now you do this, now you do this, now you... Spiritual master is like this. The bell is rung, all right, Mangal Arti. Now you do japa, now you worship Tulsi. Now there's greeting of the deities, now there's class. Now you have some manual work. Then there's evening program. So it's like being in the military. Accepting a spiritual master is like being in the military. In the military, you can't say, I don't feel like going out today. No. Now you go here. Now you do this. Well, let's continue. So, in the Nectar of Devotion, it says, that's how you start. And by rigidly following the Vaidhi Bhakti, the rules and regulations, gradually you come to the spontaneous stage. On the spontaneous stage, you don't need somebody to tell you. You want to do it. That's the stage we should all be aspiring for. That I come to that spontaneous stage. That I don't need someone to tell me. I want to do all these activities of hearing and chanting. Let's go. Continuing. As long as one is in material conditioned life, strict discipline is required in the matter of moral and immoral activities. The absolute world is transcendental and free from such distinctions because there inebriety is not possible. But in this material world, a sexual appetite necessitates a distinction between moral and immoral. There are no sexual activities in the spiritual world. The transactions between lover and beloved in the spiritual world are pure transcendental love and unadulterated bliss. One who has not been attracted by the transcendental beauty of rasa will certainly be dragged down into material attraction. Thus, to act in material contamination and progress to the darkest region of hellish life. This is the same concept that's explained in Bhagavad Gita chapter 2. Parang drishtva nivartate. Unless you get a higher taste, you will by nature be forced down to a lower taste. How could someone like me, who ate meat from the time he was born until the time he joined the temple in July of 1973. How, after joining the temple in 1973, I've never touched. Although for 23 years I was habituated. Why? I got something better called ghee. Samosa. Pakora. Paneer. I am dead serious. It is only because of the superior taste of prasadam that I was able to give up that meat eating. That's the only reason. I joined this, you've heard me say it a million times, I joined this movement for the food only. Everything else came later. But the first thing was, oh, I got to join this temple because I can't get this food in New York. The food was that good. So that was my first experience of a higher taste. If somebody, chicken, fish, forget it. It's inferior. There's no question. And all the regulative principles are on that same idea. Drinking, intoxication, illicit sex, The only way you can give these things up is you have to get something better. That's the idea. That's the whole key of Krishna consciousness, that you get something better. Otherwise, it's impossible. Why? Because the living entity by nature is seeking pleasure. It's your nature. A scorpion's nature, what is it? Bite. There's a story, maybe you know, the scorpion and the camel. Oh, you don't know that story? Oh, good. So, the scorpion and the camel are on the bank of a river. The scorpion says to the camel, hey, let's make a deal. I'll get on your back, you carry me across. I promise I won't bite. Now the camel is thinking, no. But the scorpion says, no, I promise I won't bite you. So the camel agrees, okay, he puts the scorpion on his back. They get halfway across the river. Ow! What'd you do that for? What did the scorpion say? I can't help it, it's my nature. You can't help somebody's nature. And everybody has a nature. That nature can be of two ways. It can be a degrading nature or a uplifting, or a divine nature or a demoniac nature. The potential is in each of us. We can foster the demoniac nature or we can foster the divine nature. By hearing, chanting and satsanga, the association of devotees, that is how you develop your higher nature. But if you go to Las Vegas, are you going to develop a higher nature? What will you develop if you go to Las Vegas? Demoniac nature. If you go to bars, if you go to strip clubs, what will you develop? You're not going to remember Krishna in a strip club. No. So depending on your association, that will determine what kind of nature. The choice is yours. You have decided to come here. That's why if there are no regulative principles, you don't have a temple. There has to be strict following of principles. Otherwise, there's no temple. That's what makes a temple, is its strict following of principles. So that's of utmost importance. Do you want to... It's like I've given the example 100 times. You go to a restaurant. What do you look for? What's their rating? You're going to go to a restaurant that has a D rating? What kind of food you'll get there? Cockroach. No, you want to go to a restaurant that has A rating. So similarly, a temple could have an A rating, B rating, C rating. You want to have a temple that has A rating. Cleanliness. And strict following of rules and regulations. All right, let's get back to the purport. One who has not been attracted by the transcendental beauty of rasa will certainly be dragged down into material attraction, thus to act in material contamination and progress to the darkest region of hellish life. But by understanding the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, one is freed from the grip of attraction to material so-called love between man and woman. Who can answer this question? Why does Prabhupada say so-called love between man and woman? What's the philosophy? Yes, very good. Yes, material attraction between man and woman, according to Vedas, is kama. Spiritual love, what's the word? Prema. That's one of the topics of this chapter. The difference between lust and love. I'm pretty sure it's coming up. This is going to be the discussion. Lust is like iron. Love of God is like gold. What's the price of gold right now? Through the roof. Right? Iron? No problem. So that's why Prabhupada is saying so-called. All right. Similarly, one who understands the pure parental love of Nanda and Yashoda for Krishna will be saved from being dragged into material parental affection. If one accepts Krishna as the supreme friend, the attraction for material friendship will be finished for him, and he will not be dismayed by so-called friendship with mundane wranglers. This happens all the time in the material world. People go on and they think, oh, I have so many Facebook friends, I have so many friends. But then something happens, all of a sudden, nobody's there to help. Then you realize who's your real friend. And they have this expression, fair weather friend. Oh, when you have money, oh, you got so many friends. Hey, I like it, you're good. Now you lose your job, oh, I don't want to be seen with this guy. That's the material world. Jai. Hari Bol. So a real friend, what do we also we say? A friend in need is friend indeed. And I've said many, many times, if you have this many real friends, you're wealthy. If you have this many friends, you've done good. Like I have my wife. I have the best friend. Now, a sannyasi doesn't have wife, sannyasi does not have friends, but what does the sannyasi have? The sannyasi knows, I'm not alone, Krishna is wherever I go. With that mentality, you can take sannyas. Only with that mentality. In the rules and regulations for Vaishnava sannyas, there are four stages. The first stage is you live separate from the house and you get some food then from your house. Then the next stage, you go begging door to door. Then the next stage, no more begging door, you're on your own. So the idea being, it's a gradual process of sannyas. It's not cold. Little by little by little, you become completely dependent on Krishna. I think Dwarkadish was mentioning the six symptoms of surrender. So one of those six symptoms of surrender is you have no other dependence except on Krishna. Complete dependence on Krishna. No matter what happens, Krishna. Like for me, Prabhupada on the Jaladuta. Prabhupada on the Jaladuta, no family, 40 rupees, how far is that going to help? So he's demonstrating complete, he lands in New York, as he writes, I didn't know whether to turn left or right. Complete dependence on Krishna. Let's continue. If he is attracted by servitorship to Krishna, he will no longer have to serve the material body in the degraded status of material existence with the false hope of becoming master in the future. Yes, in the material world, everyone's trying to become the master. When Prabhupada went to Japan, he was meeting with the company that was publishing his books. They're called Dai Nippon. So Prabhupada was negotiating a deal that I'll give you this much money up front, you print this many books, as we sell, we'll pay the rest. So Prabhupada was negotiating. So when Prabhupada went to Japan, there there was one Japanese guy, he was working as the translator, because they spoke Japanese. So this one guy, he was bilingual. So after the negotiation, Prabhupada asked this man, what is your goal? So the man had a stack of business cards. So he went like this. He took the bottom business card, placed it on top. What does that indicate? Yeah, right now he's just a company slave. But his goal is to become top dog, become the boss. That's material life. It's like Romney. There's this one interview with Romney, and Mrs. Romney is, they're answering questions, and Mrs. Romney says, now it's our turn, meaning now we're going to become Mr. and Mrs. White House. So she was thinking, now it's our turn. We've earned it, you know. We've deserved it. No, you don't. All right. Enough political nonsense. Let's continue. Similarly, one who seeks the greatness of Krishna in neutrality will certainly never again seek the so-called relief of impersonalist or voidist philosophy. If one is not attracted by the transcendental nature of Krishna, one is sure to be attracted to material enjoyment. See, that's another big point. Another big point. Thus, to become implicated in the clinging network of virtuous and sinful activities, and to continue material existence by transmigrating from one material body to another. Only in Krishna consciousness can one achieve the highest perfection of life. So what is Ved? What is the highest perfection of life? This quiz time. Yes. Hold on, give him a chance. Pretty good. What will you say? Serve Krishna. Which, what does that mean? Link with Krishna. Ah, that's what I was looking for. If you ask Lord Chaitanya, whose book we're studying, he would say the highest perfection of life, love of Krishna. How do you get that? What process? And what mantra should we chant? One more time. All right, let's see what we have next. Okay, let's do the next verse. Just as these desires are the fundamental reason for Krishna's appearance, whereas destroying the demons is only an incidental necessity, so for Sri Krishna Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, promulgating the Dharma of the age is incidental. So we're now getting to the real crux of the chapter. What's it entitled? The Confidential Reasons for the Appearance of Lord Chaitanya. So he has just gone through a whole analysis of Krishna Leela. Okay? And he has made his points. So now, using that as the preamble, now he's going to explain the confidential reasons for the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. Text number 38. When the Lord desired to appear for another reason, the time for promulgating the religion of the age also arose. Because In every age, there is a recommended process of self-realization. In every age. So in Satya Yuga, it was meditation. In the Treta Yuga, yajna, sacrifice. And in Dwarapara Yuga, worship of the deity. But in Kali Yuga, the recommended method is Sankirtan. We are doing Sankirtan right now. Congregation coming together, hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord. All right, let's continue. Text number 39. Thus, with two intentions, the Lord appeared with his devotees and tasted the nectar of praying with the congregational chanting of the holy name. The holy name of who? Yeah, God. The holy name of God. And then we have to decide who's God. Otherwise, we'll be confused. We should chant that name, this name. Yeah, the holy name of God. And we have to decide who is God. Thus, he spread kirtan even among the untouchables. And we discussed that in the previous chapter. Because Prakashananda Saraswati accused Lord Chaitanya of being a sentimentalist. Because Lord Chaitanya was chanting with the lowborn, fallen. The upper crust of society was avoiding Lord Chaitanya. It was the common people. So Prakashananda said, you sentimentalist, and you're chanting and dancing with sentimental people. He spread kirtan even among the untouchables. He wove a wreath of the holy name and praying, with which he garlanded the entire material world. In this way, assuming the sentiment of a devotee, he preached devotional service while practicing it himself. This is a very important verse, which Prabhupada quotes elsewhere in this book. E mata bhakta bhava kari angikar, apani achari bhakti kari la prachar. This is a very important verse. I'm going to read it again for my own purification. In this way, assuming the sentiment of a devotee, meaning he's God. He's not supposed to be a devotee, he's God. But as Lord Chaitanya, God is becoming a devotee. Which devotee? Radharani. Who is the best devotee? The topmost, right? If God's going to do something, He's going to do the best. So if God, Krishna, wants to become His own devotee, He's going to become the best devotee, namely, Srimati Radharani. Tapta Kanchana Gurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye. Alright, let's continue. He preached devotional service while practicing it himself. That's the key. It just wasn't theoretical. He walked the walk. He talked the talk. He was a living example. Just like, why did the Malechas, Yavanas, hippies, why were they able to surrender everything and follow Prabhupada? Why? Because they saw, hey, he's doing exactly what he's telling us to do. Not that he wasn't like this. Do as I say, not as I do. That's what most teachers are. Do as I say, not as I do. So, Prabhupada, the devotees could see that he was getting up early in the morning, he was chanting, whatever he was doing, that's what he was telling his disciples to do. Like that. When we saw that Prabhupada was the real thing, the genuine, real thing, a perfect example of what he was teaching in the books, then it was easy. We were ready. Yes, I'm ready to dedicate my life to him. Purport. When Rupa Goswami met Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Prayag, Allahabad, he offered his respectful obeisances by submitting that Lord Chaitanya was more magnanimous than any other avatar of Krishna, because he was distributing love of Krishna. His mission was to enhance love of Godhead. In the human form of life, the highest achievement is to attain the platform of love of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya did not invent a system of religion, as people sometimes assume. Just like that is brought up in the 17th chapter of this Adi Leela. The Hindus at that time went to the Muslim king Chand Qazi and complained, saying, this Gaura Hari has introduced this Sankirtan, which we don't know anything of this in our Hindu religion. So the Hindus went to the Qazi and said, you got to stop Gaura Hari, because he's introducing a bogus religion. That's why Prabhupada is saying here, Lord Chaitanya did not invent a system of religion, as people sometimes assume. Prabhupada had to go with that too in America. Because in the beginning, the devotees would go on the street chanting, they would get arrested. And the American authorities were thinking, we never saw this religion before. This is not taught in our church or our temples. Where is this? So ISKCON had to spend time educating and showing, no, this is bona fide, this is authentic, this is real religion. There were court cases ISKCON had to prove, even in India, that has happened, that you had to demonstrate, yes, this is real religion. It's not some cult. That was the phrase they used in the 70s. Oh, this is a cult. No, it's not a cult. It is pure religion, the highest religion. Let's continue. Religious systems are meant to show the existence of God, who is then generally approached as the cosmic order supplier. But Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transcendental mission is to distribute love of Godhead to everyone. Anyone who accepts God as the Supreme can take to the process of chanting Hare Krishna and become a lover of God. So there's this word Catholic. The word Catholic means universal. Krishna consciousness is the real Catholic religion. Why? Right here. Anyone who accepts God as the Supreme, he's not even saying Krishna. Prabhupada said, anyone who accepts God as Supreme can take to the process of chanting Hare Krishna and become a lover of God. That is our movement. In the Bible it says, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means holy. So, by chanting God's name, that is how you become holy. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is the most magnanimous. This munificent broadcasting of devotional service is possible only for Krishna himself. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the mood of Radharani. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has taught the philosophy of surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja ang tvang sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma suchaha. Very good. One who has surrendered to the Supreme can make further progress by learning to love Him. Therefore, the Krishna Consciousness Movement, propagated by Lord Chaitanya, is especially meant for those who are cognizant of the presence of the Supreme Godhead, the ultimate controller of everything. His mission is to teach people how to dovetail themselves into engagements of transcendental loving service. He is Krishna, meaning Lord Chaitanya, is Krishna acceptance. Let's see. Hold on. He is Krishna teaching his own service from the position of a devotee. The Lord's acceptance of the role of a devotee in the eternal form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is another of the Lord's wonderful features. A conditioned soul cannot reach the absolute personality of Godhead by his or her imperfect endeavor. And therefore it is wonderful that Lord Sri Krishna, in the form of Lord Gauranga, everyone say, has made it easy for everyone to approach him. Why does Prabhupada say imperfect endeavor? Because a conditioned soul has four inherent defects. Your senses, they're not perfect. With those imperfect senses, you make mistakes. Because you make mistakes, you fall into illusion. And when you fall into illusion, you try to bluff your way out of it by cheating somebody else. The four defects of a conditioned soul. That's why Chanaka Pandit says, don't place your trust in a politician. He also has the politician says, vote for me! I'm it! Yeah? You've got the four defects, buddy. Let's continue. Swarup Damodar Goswami has described Lord Chaitanya as Krishna himself with the attitude of Radharani. What is Radharani's attitude? Does Radharani's attitude mean serve me? What's Radharani's attitude? Right. That's explained in the final chapter of this book, where Radharani says, if Krishna wants another gopi, I go to her house, grab her by the hand, bring her to Krishna. Radharani says, I only care about Krishna's satisfaction. Radharani says, something I like that Krishna doesn't like, I hate that thing. If there's something that Krishna likes and I don't like, oh, I love that thing. Her whole mentality is, what is pleasing to Krishna? And then Radharani says, which is very strong, says that there may be a gopi who is angry at Krishna. Radharani says, well, she can be angry at Krishna, but I curse a thunderbolt to fall on her head. Because she's only thinking of her satisfaction. She's not thinking of the satisfaction of my Krishna. So therefore, don't get Radharani angry at you. Always be surrendered to Srimati Radharani. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So Rupa Damodara Goswami has described Lord Chaitanya as Krishna himself with the attitude of Radharani, or a combination of Radha and Krishna. The intention of Lord Chaitanya is to taste Krishna's sweetness in transcendental love. He does not care to think of himself as Krishna because he wants the position of Radharani. We should remember this. A class of so-called devotees called the Nadiya Nagaris or Gora Nagaris pretend that they have the sentiment of gopis toward Lord Chaitanya, but they do not realize that he, meaning Lord Chaitanya, placed himself not as the enjoyer Krishna, but as the enjoyed, the devotee of Krishna. The concoctions of unauthorized persons pretending to be bona fide have not been accepted by Lord Chaitanya. Presentations such as those of the Gora Nagaris are only disturbances to the sincere execution of the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is undoubtedly Krishna himself, and he is always non-different from Srimati Radharani. But the emotion, technically called Vipralamba Bhav, which the Lord adopted for confidential reasons, should not be disturbed in the name of service. A mundaner should not unnecessarily intrude into affairs of transcendence and thereby displease the Lord. One must always be on guard against this sort of devotional anomaly. A devotee is not meant to create disturbances to Krishna. As Srila Rupa Goswami has explained, devotional service is anukulyena, or favorable to Krishna. Acting unfavorably toward Krishna is not devotion. Kamsa was the enemy of Krishna. He always thought of Krishna, but he thought of him as an enemy. One should always avoid such unfavorable so-called service. Lord Chaitanya has accepted the role of Radharani, and we should support that position as Swarup Damodar did in the Gambira, the room where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in Puri. I went there in 1975. I went to the Gambira. Nice. He always reminded Lord Chaitanya of Radha's feelings of separation as they are described in Srimad Bhagavatam, and Lord Chaitanya appreciated his assistance. But the Gora Nagaris who placed Lord Chaitanya in the position of enjoyer and themselves as his enjoyed are not approved by Lord Chaitanya or by Chaitanya's followers. Instead of being blessed, the foolish imitators are left completely apart. Their concoctions are against the principles of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The doctrine of transcendental enjoyment by Krishna cannot be mixed up with the doctrine of transcendental feeling of separation from Krishna in the role of Radharani. So we will end here. Now, for the remaining 13 minutes, if you have any questions, I will entertain questions. Does anybody have a question they'd like to ask? You don't have a question? Is this the same vape? Now, your question you asked Dwarkadish, Brahma, let's revisit that. What was the actual question you were asking? Part and parcel. Well, it cannot mean that Brahma's body is eternal because it's material. And you will find definite quotations in Bhagavatam that Lord Brahma has to die. So it cannot, at least in the terms of Lord Brahma, that body is not spiritual because Lord Brahma's body is primarily intelligence, material intelligence. So that body, and again, you can become a Lord Brahma, you cannot become a Lord Shiva. So if I can become a Brahma, then that body obviously can't be spiritual, right? A spirit soul doesn't take on a spirit body. The spirit soul expands into a spiritual body. But the spirit soul does take on a material body. So you can become Brahma, you can become Brahma. So obviously it's not referring to Brahma's material body, but it's referring to the living entity who's taking that body and post of Lord Brahma. Lord Shiva, on the other hand, there are different Lord Shivas. There's at least four different Lord Shivas. There's a Lord Shiva in the spiritual world known as Sadashiva, but he's Vishnu. Okay? Then there is a Lord Shiva who exists in between the spiritual world and the material world in a dham called Mahesh Dham. Okay? That Lord Shiva appears to be eternal. Okay? Then there's another Lord Shiva. When Mahavishnu glances at the material energy, Mahavishnu, that glance becomes Lord Shiva. So there's your third Lord Shiva. It's Lord Shiva. Like today is Father's Day, yes? So, from one angle of vision, remember that, from one angle of vision, you could say he's the father of all living entities. Because when Mahavishnu glances at the material energy, that glance becomes Lord Shiva. He has sex with Goddess Durga, and all the living entities who were resting in Mahavishnu enter the material world. From another angle of vision, he's not the father. You studied the verse today. Ah! Right. Whose children are we? Yes. The soul comes from Krishna. The soul doesn't come from Lord Shiva. We're not part and parcel of Lord Shiva. We're part and parcel of Krishna. That's who we're part and parcel of. But this other angle of vision is, since he injects the souls that were lying dormant in Mahavishnu into the womb of Goddess Durga, from that angle of vision, he is Pita. He is the Father. So you could worship Lord Shiva as your Supreme Father on today. Or you could worship Lord Krishna on this day, because he's your real father. Then there's another Lord Shiva who assumes 11 forms when Brahma becomes angry at the four Kumaras, and from his anger comes out a child of mixed blue and red, and he expands into 11 Rudras, and he has his 11 wives, Rudranis. So those are the different Lord Shivas. Okay? Shiva Tattva is not easily understandable. We try to understand, and eventually things are revealed. Is your question satisfied? What other questions do we have? Okay. What's not temporary? That they're not temporary. Okay. Because Vishnu lives in the spiritual world. So Lord Vishnu does not die. Lord Vishnu does not have a material body. Lord Shiva is in between, which I just explained. He's not God and he's not a living entity. Milk and yogurt. Is yogurt milk? From one angle of vision, it is. Is yogurt milk? No. From another angle of vision, it's not. Well, what is it? It's in between. It's milk and it's not milk. It's yogurt. Lord Shiva is in his own category. His own category. Next question. No more. Let's see if there's any questions. Well, I'm not plugged in. No more questions on any topic of spiritual life. Yes. Your point was well done. You didn't ask a question. You were making a point. Your understanding was correct. And Prabhupada discusses that in chapter 2. That we should not think of this word fragmental in material sense. Like you have a pie or a birthday cake. You cut it up into fragments. Everyone gets a piece. No more pie. The Mayavadis think like that. That God has divided himself. Now there's no more God. No. So this fragment is a spiritual, eternal fragment. Yes, well, the word Ansha is used. The word Ansha is used. It can also mean part, parcel. Again, I always default the sun rays. They're one. Right? The sun ray has all the particles of sun, but not the potency, not the power. So we are all, and Lord Chaitanya uses this example, we are sun ray-like particles of Krishna. He actually uses that expression. I think he uses the word kirana. Doesn't kirana mean rays? So that's the soul, simultaneously one and different from Krishna. Yes, we are his energy, we're individual, and we're fragmental. Fragmental meaning we have his qualities minuscule. Yes, thank you for your question. That is correct. No. Brahma is in the material realm. Okay. There are innumerable material universes also. Okay. When Mahavishnu exhales innumerable material universes come into existence. Each material universe has a Lord Brahma. Now, above the material world is, as I mentioned, Mahesh Dham. Then above that is Vaikuntha. There are innumerable Vaikuntha planets, no Lord Brahma. But each has its own Narayan Vishnu form. There's a planet of Ram, planet of Vamana, planet of Nisringa. And they're unlimited. And the topmost of them all, Krishna Loka, which has three regions, Dwarka, Mathura, Vrindavan. And then there's a hidden neighborhood where Lord Chaitanya is. And Prabhupada says, you can be with Krishna and simultaneously be with Lord Chaitanya. Pretty good, huh? There are no limitations in the spiritual world. Does that satisfy your inquiry? Any more questions? So, the verse says there's no need of sunlight or moonlight. In other words, here's how I would have explained it. The material universe by nature is dark. Why? Because it's like a coconut. Inside the coconut, there's no light. So therefore, Krishna turns on the light bulb, the sun. That's our light bulb, right? And the Bhagavatam analyzes. And there is one place in the universe where there is no sunlight. Yeah, there's one place. It's called Loka Loka. The sunlight is blocked, I think because of some mountain range. The sunlight is blocked in this one region of the universe. Otherwise, the sun traverses the universe and lights up the whole universe. Okay, so the sun is needed because the material universe is blocked. It's dark by nature, right? The spiritual sky is self-illuminating. So that's why the verse, Prabhupada's translation, there is no need of sunlight or moonlight or electricity. That's different. Now, the answer he gave, according to his Guru Maharaj, is consistent. Because you still have pastimes, and as he nicely said, the rasa dance is performed at night. So, even though there's no need of sunlight or moonlight or electricity, still there's going to be a sun, a moon. They're going to have these things in order that there is the pastimes that go on eternally in the spiritual world. It's not like, you know, there's places here on earth where 6 months it's light. If you go to the north. Yeah, and Norway and Finland. And it's really, I know devotees who live in this, it's so abnormal that 6 months of the year, it doesn't get dark. And the same way, 6 months, it's dark. That's why in these regions, there's a lot of suicide in these regions by the general populace. Because it's not a normal condition, right? Normal condition is sun rises, noon, sunsets, nighttime, right? That's normal. When things are not normal, it tweaks your psychophysical nature. So, he's right. In Krishna's abode, there are the different changes of the day so that the pastimes can go on. But there's no... Exactly. Exactly. That's how... Because that's the next question. How is it? How is it? Right? Yes. If Krishna can lift Govardhan Hill, then... He can do anything. For instance, there is that description I mentioned once before. Krishna goes to bed at night. Yashoda tucks him in. So there's two doors in Krishna's room. Yashoda doesn't know the other door Krishna has jimmied. Yashoda thinks, I have tucked Krishna, I have locked the door, now he can't get out. At midnight, Krishna gets up from bed, slips out the door that he jimmied, Now what happens? The land of Vrindavan, Krishna doesn't walk. The land of Vrindavan takes Krishna to the exact spot where Radha and the gopis have arranged where tonight's pastimes are going to go on. Vrindavan goes like this, shoo, and Krishna is there in a second. The land of Vrindavan just immediately transports Krishna to the pre-designated spot. Because all day long, the gopis, the cowherd boys, have been conniving where tonight's rasa dance is going to take place. And this goes on day after day after day after day. Who wants to go to this Krishna Loka? Who wants to dance and play with Krishna? Jai. What's the process? You chant Hare Krishna. Everybody. So since today is Father's Day, I'd like to first of all offer my respects to my material father, who I am named after. My material name is Nicholas, so I was named after my father. And I'm thankful to my father who raised me religiously. My father taught me my first concepts of God and religion. And so I'm very grateful to my father that he brought me up. And my father himself was very, very pious. His only sin was that he ate meat. He never drank alcohol. He never smoked. Never took any kind of intoxicant. Never gambled. Never used vulgar language. He never had any outside sexual affair. So his only sin, you could say, is he ate meat. So he was very pious. So I am very thankful to my father. And then, when I was 22, I met my eternal spiritual father, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who has initiated me. So he's my spiritual father and has given me second birth by means of the Vedic scriptures. So on Father's Day, I must recognize my two fathers. And of course, my original father, from whom I am part and parcel, Lord Sri Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. I hope that you derive some transcendental benefit from today's class. And if you would like to receive blessings on Father's Day, let's go. Jai. Very good. Yes. Hare Krishna. Jai. Hari Bol. Jai. Hare Krishna. So you knew the answer to the question. Jai. Hari Bol. No, I'm going to be with my daughter's family. Hari Bol. Jai. So our questions are... You're satisfied? Hari Bol. Hare Krishna. Jai. Hare Krishna. Jai. Hare Krishna. May Krishna bless you. Thank you. Hari Bol. Krishna Kumar. May Krishna bless you. Hari Bol. Veda. No questions today. What happened?
I changed the name to Veda Vyas.
Very good. Bill, long time. I'm so glad to be here. Jai. I will try as best I can to help you. I will always bless you. I'll do as much as I can. Good.